my goodness. Who was that? I'm at such a disadvantage right now because I'm neither the cutest or the most practiced or the most creative or the most emotional with the connection here. I'm not going to, I want to make you cry, but I don't think I will. I'm not going to sing a beautiful song for you. You really don't want me to try. But I'm here to give you a little word. I'm so blessed to be part of our worship today. Let me read to you from Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. We've been reading from Isaiah for the past 3 weeks, actually. But let me read to you just those two verses as our text and give you the Christmas message. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Amen. Just one more time. Would you all just say to one another, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen. Let me begin with a question, and I want to share with you guys. I want to ask you guys to share with one another. What is your favorite Christmas custom? Just share with one another. Tell one another what your favorite Christmas custom is. Some of you guys don't have favorite Christmas customs. How many of you say you love all the decorations? You love all the decorations that go up, okay? How many of you guys say you like the songs? I love the Christmas carols and the singing and all that stuff that happens, okay? How many of you guys like the gifts? Presents? Really? Come on, folks. Okay, six people. What is the most distinctive Christmas custom? And I think the most distinctive custom of all of Christmas is the giving of gifts to one another. There are other times throughout the year, anniversaries, birthdays, when we give gifts to certain people. But Christmas is the only time that I can think of where everyone gives gifts to everybody else, right? Everyone gives gifts to as many people as possible. I saw the kids, and there was almost this competition when we came to church to give one another these little gifts that people have made for each other. And it is a wonderful, wonderful tradition. It's a wonderful, wonderful custom. You have heard us, as pastors in general, as well as pastors specifically here sometimes, perhaps bemoan the whole, you know, the focus becoming too much on giving of gifts. But there's something really right about this, because it underscores the very central truth of Christmas, that Christ comes to us at Christmas, and he doesn't just come, he is given. It says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Very specifically, it's a gift. And all that gift-giving reminds us, makes this real, that God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. And Jesus being a gift, Jesus being the gift, is full of implications. And I just want to meditate on that and share it from that as our Christmas message. What does it mean? What does it mean that Jesus comes to us as a gift? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for our world? What does it mean? What does it tell us about who God is? And what does it tell us about who we are? That Jesus is given to us as a gift. the ultimate Christmas gift. I want to share with you guys, and I want to share with you guys just three things that I thought of. There are so many more things that you could come up with, I'm sure. But I just want to share with you guys three things that I thought of to think about, to consider, to ponder during this time of the year, in time of gift giving. First thing I want to say is that, like any great gift, this gift of Jesus is a surprise. Now, how many of you guys would say the best gifts are surprises? The best gifts are surprises. Okay. Now, when you get a little bit older, with my wife, and many of you guys give lots of guidelines for gifts. As you get older and older, you get lots of guidelines. You give lots and lots of guidelines. But nothing beats a gift that is a surprise, that was unexpected, and you open it, and there's this, like, this moment. You guys have all experienced this. There's this moment in which they just freeze, and there's this kind of look of bewilderment. They go, what is this, for a moment? And then they let out a scream. They go, ah! And they start just screaming, and they can't control themselves because it is so cool. It's beyond their expectations. It is not something that they could have possibly expected. Now, there are bad surprises for Christmas gifts, and there are good surprises. We have all probably experienced both, and sometimes we try to guard too much against the bad surprises. I've told you guys this story many, many times. My brother-in-law, David, one Christmas time, he really wanted a basketball. And he really wanted to get a basketball for Christmas. And to his delight, he saw this ball-shaped present right under the Christmas tree just a couple of days before. And he was so excited. And on Christmas morning, he came down and he ripped open this what he thought was a basketball. But instead of a basketball, it was a globe, you know. And so, you know, it was a little bit deflated. That's sort of a bad surprise. But the good surprise is the stuff where you just open it up and you go, you know what? And this is what you wind up saying is, I can't believe I got this. I could not have expected this. It was completely unexpected. And yet, it is perfect. It is perfect. It's unexpected, but it's perfect. It is exactly what I need. Now, here's what this means. Jesus was not on the world's Christmas list. That's what I want to say first. The world doesn't expect him. The world expects somebody else to come, and the world expects somebody else, a Savior, to come in power and in strength. But instead, Jesus comes to us in meekness, in ultimate meekness. And Jesus comes to us, and he dies in ultimate meekness. You know, as long as people thought that Jesus was going to be the type of Messiah that they were expecting and wanting for him to be, many people wanted to follow him. But, when they found out, when they realized that he wasn't going to fulfill their expectations, but it was completely unexpected, he wound up being disavowed. He wound up being somebody that they rejected. And isn't that cool that the main distraction is coming from? Who are those kids right over there? Can you keep those people under control? Everybody else is doing so well. Listen, Silent Night guy, okay. Now, let me take that a little bit more personal to you guys. Personal for us. This is the same reason why people reject Jesus today. And it is the same reason why Christians sometimes reject following and pursuing Jesus. We follow Jesus as long as he's doing something we expect him to do. He leads us in ways that we expect him to, want him to, in power and in strength. And he gives us health and power and success and prestige and all of these things. But Jesus says, you know, that might not be what you need. And I am the gift, the ultimate surprise gift. And I have a surprise for you in your life as well. And you need to understand that. And you need to be willing. You need to understand. So just because Jesus might be leading you in some surprising ways, don't reject this gift. Don't reject this gift. This is the message of Christmas. Jesus is a surprise gift from God. First thing. Second thing that I want to say about Jesus being the gift is that because Jesus is a gift, it means we need to stop trying to earn the gift that God gives to us. We need to stop trying to earn salvation, redemption, our lives. We need to stop trying to make our life about earning things, especially before God. He is the ultimate gift that pushes aside all of these things. Imagine this scenario. Have you ever done a Secret Santa thing with like a group of people, whether it was with your work people or your school friends? And the hat goes around, and there's a name. You pull out a name, and that you're going to give that person a gift, right? And the hat goes around, and you pull out a name, and it's like the last person that you want to give a gift to. Anybody ever have that experience and is willing to admit it? Okay, thank you, Eric. Oh, I don't. Maybe you can stay anonymous. I love this thing, by the way. I don't know what that was, but that was cool. I remember back in junior high school, in youth group, we did this Secret Santa thing. And the name that I picked was this girl that I wanted nothing to do with getting her a gift. She was kind of, for about like the last 6 months, I remember this, she was creeping me out a bit, okay? She was kind of stalking me. It was harassment, practically, okay? If it wasn't in the 80s, it would have been harassment. And I'm not saying this sort of stuff happens a lot in my life, but I'm just saying it happened that year. But I remember trying very, very hard to get her a gift because she was doing all of this stuff that I just felt like, man, she's really annoying me. She was doing this stuff against me, in one sense, that I felt like was not fun for me. I was really trying to give her a gift that was like essentially minimal that I can get by without it being qualified as a bad gift. Now, imagine an even worse scenario. Imagine someone who is doing everything that they can to bring you down. Can you imagine giving that person a gift? Can you imagine giving that person a gift? And not only any gift, not just any gift, but the thing that is closest to your heart. Can you imagine doing that? Because that's what the Bible says that God has done for you. That's what the Bible says that God has done for us. This is grace. He has given you a gift. He has given you a gift that He cannot give you a better gift even. In other words, you guys remember the childhood challenge of if God is omnipotent, can He make a rock so big He couldn't lift it? Well, the Bible says that in Christ, God gave us a gift that He couldn't top. That in Christ, God gave us a gift that He couldn't better improve upon. This is Christmas. Listen, you have heard now that Jesus is a gift. And many of you, you know this, but I also know that many of you are being driven into the ground with this sense of unworthiness in your life for a lot of reasons. You just feel like your life is not measuring up to your standards or somebody else's standards. And you're trying so hard in your life, and you're consumed with trying to make your life worth something. You're consumed with trying to make your life worthy, perhaps of your own expectations or somebody else's expectations. you know, you're singing about Jesus Christ being the gift, but in actual life, in actuality, you are actually refusing it. Christ has come to us for our righteousness. Jesus fulfills our worth. The gift of Christ fulfills our worth. That is the gift of Christmas. Remember that. And lastly, gifts tell us so much about who the recipient is as much as the giver. You can tell the maturity of a child by their response to a gift, right? You can tell a lot about the character of a person by the way they receive certain gifts. Pastor Sam told the story of, some of you guys experienced this story of going to Mercy House and this little girl named Scarlett who got clothes. This little girl got clothes for Christmas. And as any parent or anybody who's ever given gifts to a child knows, like, really? Clothes? And this child was just upset and running around and just wanting to take everybody else's gifts. And I thought, I heard it was a rather a funny moment. She didn't realize she was actually getting a great gift. She didn't realize she was getting something that she really, really needed. That sometimes what you want is not the best thing, but what you need is a great thing. Now, wonderful, cute little story, but can you imagine if this person was older? Can you imagine if somebody that's older and you go up to that person and say, hey, Joshua, where's Joshua? Hey, I decided I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to pay for your college tuition. I'm just kidding, but I'm just pretend. And can you imagine Joshua saying, like, you know, what if his response at this point is like, college education? What? I wanted an iPad. What are you doing giving me a college education? You would say, well, you know, Pastor Sam's going to have to work on his maturity a little bit. No, that's right. When you're older and you react to gifts like that, you realize, well, the maturity level, you don't quite get what the gift is, do you? You haven't understood, you haven't perceived the bigness of this gift, have you? You haven't understood how great this gift is and that what you're asking for is really just this, you know, a pebble. You're asking for a rock off of somebody else's backyard when God is offering you a diamond. So how do you respond to the gift of Jesus? Do you trust it? Do you rely on it? Do you expect that whatever challenges that you will face, that the gift of Jesus has made it possible for you to overcome? This is the gift that you need. This is the gift that you need. Or do you live in fear that God might not be enough? That God might have made a mistake in sending us Jesus and telling us to follow him? That you instead need something else, something better? How do you respond? How do you respond? What is your mind full of these days during Christmas time when we think about wishes? And this is not a bad thing for us to think about during this time. For us to think, what do I want in my life? What are the things that I want to surround myself with in my life? What are the important things in my life? Are you focused so much on trying to get these things? And it might be some lofty things that you might think. It might not be some gadget. It might not be something that a toy that you just play with. But are you wanting, are you desperately wanting for things in your life, feeling like you need them so much that you actually are saying, in fact, you haven't understood the greatness of the gift of Jesus. Is that what you're saying? I want to talk to the people a little bit who are unemployed and looking for jobs, or maybe phasing out, or just in a difficult job situation, because so many times in our lives, or in this world, in our culture, we're called to connect our worth and our sense of who we are to having a good job with the right sort of a company, getting the right sort of pay. And I want to remind you that you're in a wonderful place right now to be able to receive and to remember the gift of Jesus as the most important gift of all. There are no distractions right now. To remember that, to be able to trust in that, even during this time in which there's so many questions that go up, self-confidence, all of these things, I want to remind you that this is the gift that reminds us that the one who has made everything thinks of you so highly that he has given you the most precious thing of all. I want to remind you guys who are single and might be wanting to get married. And look, there is a good reasons, biblical reasons, to say, you know, there might be singles here who are perfectly fine in their singlehood, and I hope there are people like that as well. But there might be some people who say, you know what, I don't think I'm called to a lifetime of singleness, and I feel like I'm not complete. There's nobody coming up to me and saying, you complete me. And I'm wanting for that, and I want to remind you once again that your worth is not based on that, on your relationships that can change. But the Christmas gift is a reminder that the one who has created for you to love and created all of these feelings, that the gift has been given to you that's the greatest of all. A friend has been given to you. Friend is with us. That is the greatest of all. And we ought to remember that for sure. And I don't want to just single out those people, because I'm not singling out those people to say, you know, there's something wrong. But I'm talking more about the societal expectations. Because I actually think that sometimes when we're in a situation in which somebody else looks upon our lives and say, oh, you need to have such and such to make your life complete, that we're actually in a better position to be able to say, look, the most important thing in my life has been completed long, long time ago. And that part determines my hope. That is what I look forward to. Imagine if you have a friend that's been a friend to you all this time. And one day, this friend gives to you a gift that is unbelievably expensive. What is this friend telling you? The message is that you mean more to him, you mean more to her, than you actually know. If we can ever just ponder for a moment the value of this gift, the greatness of this gift, given to us at Christmas time, then your heart, I think, will be overflowing with gratitude and love and joy, because the one who has given you this great gift is telling you something about who you are to him. And so if God has given us Christ, will he really hold back anything else that we truly need to pursue him wholly and fully in our lives? I don't think so. Let us pray. Lord, challenge us, personally and challenge us as a church. You are here. Will you not give us whatever else we need? May this Christmas time, may this wonderful time of gift giving, may this opportunity not go to waste, but may it remind us ever so sharply and deeply in our hearts that you are a God who thought of us so much. You love us. You came to us. May you be glorified. May you be honored in the way we receive. Treasure, live out the gift of Christmas. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the band to join us in the front. We're going to close our time with a song to celebrate one more time.